Thank you, Bob. Well, it's good to be here. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome you that are looking at live streaming and thankful you're able to tune in. You know, I was at dialysis the other day and I turned in on the virtual, and boy, was that nice. I heard everything and could vote, and this technology today is wonderful. I'm thankful for it. You know, as a young man, I was in college, and I was nervous when I had to stand up, and so I decided I'd take speech. In my first speech, I had a piece of paper, and I was talking, I was like this, and nobody could hear me. And I finally worked myself out of that, and here I am 50 years later, and I'm up here doing that, and my hands are shaking, because I'm getting old. But I'm thankful for the Lord's blessings upon me. I'm thankful for the gospel of Christ, and I'm really thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. See all your smiling faces. I know there's a lot of people looking that I know that are tuning in online, and I'm thankful. We've had a wonderful conference, wonderful solemn assemblies. And I was at one of the, I guess it was the afternoon session. No, excuse me. It was during the sacrament service. And I've been praying for calling for ministry and praying for the church and hoping he was going to speak to us. And it didn't happen. And I was missing the thoughts of some of the wonderful testimonies that I had. And I said to myself, you know, Brickhouse, just calm down and listen to the Lord working. How he's working in individual lives. Blessings and the healings and the guidance and direction that's given all of us. And I thoroughly enjoyed the service, and I was thankful I thought of that. But we've had wonderful meetings of the apostles before conference, and we've discussed dreams and the blessings of the conference and of the blessing of our country. You know, we're living a wonderful country. You know, I talked to a young man that's in another country. I'm not going to say his name or where he is. But if he would go out and preach the gospel in his country, they'd cut off his head. That's the law, you know. And in his home country, if he did it, well, they'd only put him in jail. But he's a strong believer in Christ and a strong believer in the Church of Christ. So we need to pray for him, those like him. Our brother Dwayne preached a wonderful service, and so did our brother Cody last night. But after Dwayne's service, Sue looks at me, and she said, you know, he tells stories. I like stories. Translated is, you better give some stories. So I'll give one on her. About 50 years ago, I get this call from the Secretary of the Council, Brother Sheldon. And I talk to Brother Sheldon and tell him, okay, and I get off the phone, and who is that? I said, that was Brother Sheldon. What did he want? He wanted me to preach at the upcoming conference. She said, who, you? I got some more later. I enjoyed all the services this far. Betsy, I enjoyed your thing. It's going to fit in with some of the things I have. It's a real blessing. And I'm not going to bring anything new today. I was asked by Brother Dan a name for my sermon, and I said roots. And I'm going to talk about the things we believe and what some why and our responsibilities, our priority. We've been told to set our priorities. We've been told to seek his will in our life, and we're to have hope in the things written and the things that are in the scriptures. So I'm going to start by the reading, and I apologize, I've got this all printed out, and then I make notes over it, which I can't read, and so I get lost, but I have trouble paging through the scriptures. Isaiah 45, verses 19 through 25. And Lord speaking, he says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place on the earth. I said, not under the seat of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speaketh righteousness. I declare the things that are right. Assemble yourselves together and come. Draw me together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up wood for their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. And we're kind of, he's saying, come. Come unto me. Listen to the things I'm telling you. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have I not the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Calling Israel, calling us today to come unto him. He's spoken to us. He's a God that never changes. It's him who created everything. He's capable of everything. And we're to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and worship him and his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we've gathered together here for. Not only to do the business of the church, but to hear the preaching, the prayer services, and ask God to direct us in our life. We're to hone in on those things. Joel, in a sermon a couple weeks ago, said we need to focus on these things. What the purpose is, why we're here. Our brother Cody, you know, why? What is our priority, he spoke of. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? You know, I saw that in the shirt of Jesse the other night, the back of your shirt, yesterday or the day before. And, you know, he wants us to come on, to seek his will. You know, we have all these desires, you know. I never wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be a forest ranger and a farmer. And all these things, and I went to school, and I thought I wanted to be a manager. You know, at that age, I never asked God what he wanted me. And I'm sorry he didn't, because I missed a lot. You know, we need to seek the Lord daily in our life. Ask him what he wants us to do today. Ask him where he wants us to work, what vocation we have, that we might be available to serve him, that we might have jobs where we can help others, that we might have jobs that we might be able to get time off to go and preach the gospel, that we have jobs that we might be able to earn enough money or have an early retirement and go on a missionary field. Seek his will, and he'll bless us. And God is in charge from the beginning to the end, no one else. We're so fortunate, we have two records that teach of Jesus Christ. Anybody know who those are, the kids today that were up here? What were those records called? You remember? The two sticks? Anybody remember Betsy's thing? Anyway, we know that the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and we're instructed to study him and to seek his will and have him help us in our choices of jobs and vocation. We're to be his people today. He's counting on the Church of Christ. He needs our spiritual awareness. He needs our steadfastness. And especially in this time that we're in, and turmoil in the world, and shaking of things, we have to place our hope in Jesus Christ. We can look at the scriptures, and I'm going to go through a bunch of them today, maybe. But, you know, of the perfectness of the things that are written in the scriptures. Ephesians says, you know, fitly joined together like a gear. Everything, you know, just falls into place. So perfect. Bible, the Book of Mormon, and things of history and the prophecies that are to be fulfilled, the prophecies that have been fulfilled. You know, it's just wonderful. And we've got to take advantage of that and stand fast on that fact. That God never changes, that he's capable of doing everything, that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth through his son. And there's nothing that he can't do. Nothing. He can take us around the world. He can perform mighty miracles, and he does. You know, all of us here, you know, are walking miracles, even in our birth, in the birth of our children, And just imagine that, the power, the things that he can do, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. He's, you know, he looks higher than we do, and we have to try to come up to where he is in our walk in life. I've got a couple of references in here, and it says we need to be saints. We're called to be saints. And I think every one of us, you know, should think about that. What is it to be a saint? How can we work our way? You know, we leave here and this weekend or whatever. Look it up in the dictionary. What's a saint? Write down where you are and what it will take to get there. He's just calling us to be his Latter-day Saints. We've heard that term. But he wants us to be a saint, or as Christ. He wants us to be Christ-like. And I didn't finish that reference there. It's okay. So we have a time when we get together, and, you know, I've always enjoyed conference. You know, I never experienced anything like that in my life. I came to Independence, married, and wonderful spirit. And you know, I met my wife in college, and her dad was an elder, and I ended up joining the church 85 years later, but no. And I can remember being at the solemn assembly. I can remember being at the sacrament service, and brothers and sisters standing and testifying of God's love, and felt the Spirit of God, and been administered to. I was ministered to this afternoon, already to pass out. And Brother Joel and Bob administered me, and I've been lifted up, and I'm so thankful. And I had never heard of that ordinance. I don't think most of the churches in the world use that benefit that we have, that belief we have. But, you know, it tells us in the scriptures, if there's any sick among us, to call for the elders of the church. And our elders are available full time. You know, I know any one of us that would get called would be out and go about wherever we needed to go. And it's a real blessing for us to be called and used. And it's the blessing that the Lord has gotten for each one of you. And if you're sick and afflicted, if you have trials in your life, you know, the people, our people, pray for one another. So, you know, I know the people have prayed for me. And so we need to make sure that we allow God, young and old, to direct us. Who does he want us to reach out to today? Who can I call? Who can I pray for? Who can I send a letter to? You know, we have so much technology in that there's nobody in the world we can't talk to. Think about it. You know, I called my sister the other day up in Wisconsin. She thought I was lost someplace. But, you know, you can talk to anybody. And so I really want to encourage us here. And I'm mindful of things that it says. You know, Matthew 16:16 says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We had that wonderful rendition of the Rock Sunday and singing, and it was beautiful. In Ephesians 2, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, to whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit, fitly joined together, fitly groweth," it said here. I love that. Just how everything matches. And, you know, I've had people say, and I've said to other ones, if you're having trouble in thinking that the Bible and the Book of Mormon, you know, talk against each other, go back and read it. Or Isaiah and Ezekiel, or, you know, within the book, because there's something that we don't understand. And so we have a need to reread it and pray about it for the true understanding. Again, I'm going to say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Boy, that's a powerful statement. The Word of God in the Scriptures, the truth, our roots, those things we believe in. Amos 3 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveal his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." The Lord is telling us, you know, that the Lord God will do nothing but he revealed to his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. We need to read the prophecies and ask for understanding. We need to put our faith and trust and our hope in those prophecies, things that happened and the things that are going to happen. We believe in the things that are going to happen because other things happened. And the Lord never changes. He's always faithful, and he'll bless us. And, you know, we find that, he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I think I read that. And that was in Matthew. Yet again, we find that the scriptures talk about a falling away. Talk about after the time of Christ, there would be a falling away. And the church would go into the wilderness. And we all, hopefully know about that. But I'll read in 2 Thessalonians, where it says, and starting in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not so shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you in any means." He was telling them, God has a plan, and he's going to do, his plan is going to come to pass. He says there's going to be a falling away first. "And that man of sin is be real revealed, and the son of perdition, whose opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I yet was with you, I told you these things." He was telling him, don't be so soon shaken. Don't be troubled. Don't let anybody deceive you. I'll tell you when I'm coming. He said, there's going to be a falling away, and the Satan is going to be revealed. And the prophecy speaks of that. And we know that, in history that happened. And there'd be a falling away. But we have to remember, the gates of hell would not prevail. But that falling away resulted in things being changed, the name of the church, the beliefs, the structure, and but God had a plan. But he talked about that time in Amos 8, you know, there a spiritual famine. Amos 8 and 11th verse. Behold, days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Consider that. Christ came. You know, a lot of people in the world don't know about that. Don't know that there was, I don't know what they do with Second Thessalonians. But, you know, all those people that think that they have their church has been the church, you know, since the beginning of time. Catholic Church and those that break offs from. But the scriptures don't teach that. You know, the Apostle John saw a wonderful revelation. And it says in Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, trailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, you know, this is some prophetic language, but, you know, that woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, you know, and 12 stars, you know, is a representative of the Church of Christ. And Satan came along and with the 7 heads and 10 horns, etc., and tried to devour her and the priesthood authority to represent her. But that was sent. It was sent into the wilderness to be fed 1,230 score days or years. The authority to represent her, so that, in other words, the pure word of God was not taught for 1,260 years, just as Amos says, just as predicted that surely the Lord God would be nothing but reveal it to his servants, the prophets. And so we have the falling away, several scriptures. Daniel talks about a little horn to wear out the saints from the Most High and change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of times. And another reference talks about it for 42 months. But it's the Lord fulfilling his scriptures, fulfilling his promises. We know if we read history that the Lombards invaded Rome and gave power to the Pope, you know, around 570 AD, and he changed things. Came up with abominable creeds. When Joseph Smith was looking for the true church, he saw Christ and he was told that the deeds were an abomination to him. That the things that church was joining or teaching wasn't correct. And then we find that there were a lot of reformers in that decided that church needed being corrected, so they tried to reform things. And They did a good work. They're forerunners of the restoration, but they didn't have power and authority from God. They still had it from man. There was a need to be restored. And we can turn to the scriptures and find those things. In the Bible, in Isaiah 29, informs us that a book would come forth which from which we would learn doctrine and see things more clearly. It was to be used with the Bible and was to be a second witness of Jesus Christ. It's spoken of in the book of Ezekiel also and other places. It was to be the word of God. The Lord was going to do a marvelous work and a wonder. And it's things are so perfect, and we can have so much hope and future prophecies that even gave the time in history right before the latter days rains would return to Palestine. There's other prophecies given and dreams given of these things. Yeah, and these are all part of our beliefs. These are all of those things that make us the Church of Christ or lead to the Church of Christ. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel in the second chapter talks about these images and everything. And it's a great dream. And he asked his soothsayers and everything, can you tell me my dream and then tell me what it means? Well, they said, well, tell me the dream. I can tell you what it means. Well, he didn't want to accept that. There was a young man named Daniel that knew he could. So he asked to speak to them. And this is what he told them. I'm not going to read all of Daniel. But it says, Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and making known to the king Nebuchadnezzar which shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy dream are these. And he goes and he says, oh thee, oh king, he saw these images and one preceded the other, and he wanted to know what that was. I'm going to skip down to verse 31. And thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. The great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And this image's head was of gold, his breast was of arms and silver, and his belly and thighs of brass. He had legs of iron, and his feet of iron. And he explained it to him, and he said, but he tells him that the Lord was telling him what was going to be in the last days, not in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, but this was a coming prophecy, and those all those kingdoms will fall. And in verse 43, and I saw that, and I, whereas they thou saw iron mixed with myrrh clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And it says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and they shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that stone which cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God had made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Perfect timing. From the time that Rome fell, and the Pope took charge and changed the things to the time of this occurring, and that those 10 countries, the 10 kingdoms that it's talking about there in the last verse, stood. I believe it's something like between October 1829 and April 1830. Fit together and put the thing on the time. No. put down contention and false doctrines. Marvelous work and a wonder. You know, I'm just amazed at how those things fit together. And the power of his God and the forethought, and that he preserved those things. You know, in John 10:16, he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, he scattered those sheep. He scattered the house of Israel among them, the isles of the sea. And, you know, that's his thing. That's what he was teaching the kids. And he didn't just come to the people in Jerusalem. You know, he came to all 12 tribes, wherever they were. Book of Mormon tells us. He wasn't a respecter of persons. You know, what did Joel say? Israel is what, 95 miles long and 20 some miles wide, or, you know, whatever it was. He didn't just go there. You know, I don't know how anybody can really think that. And not know Christ, I guess, but in his power and his love for the children of men, each one of us, young and old. You know, scripture says he has preserved a place for us. Wonderful. Tells us we got a lot of things going on, but we don't have to fear. The righteous don't have to fear. He'll protect us. But we got to seek. We have to. I've got another reference here. I'm not going to get to it. And that is the natural man is an enemy to God. Has been, all will be, always will be, unless we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We've got to. In our carnal state, we're selfish, rude, proud, whatever. But if we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, we can be those saints that we're called to be. And we do that by studying. We do that by prayer. We do that by preparing our lives. We do that by asking him his will in our lives daily and changing. We need to fast and pray. You know, the mission of the Church of Christ is missionary. To go out, we're charged to go out into the world. You know, and Betsy was teaching that to the kids this morning or this evening. You know, are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you studied? Have you made yourself complete? Are you making yourself available? And, you know, it doesn't happen by chance. It happens by our faith. It happens by our desire to read the scriptures and ask our parents what it means. Ask your pastor or your brother, you know, older brother or whatever. And doesn't happen by ourselves. Cody talked about priorities. What's our priority? Are we seeking first? You know, if we'd write down that we wanted to be a Satan, and the definition of a Satan, and wrote down there what the things that we need to do, change in our life, it might be hard for us. What we really need to do, become a saint. Be Christ-like. To follow the example of Jesus Christ. To be changed, to be converted, to completely converted. We have to fast and pray. We might have knowledge. We might study, and so we would be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We must separate ourselves from the world and worldly things. We have to hone in on those things that affect our souls and souls of those of our family and those around us. and those that God gives us the opportunity. You know, we need to fellowship with the body of Christ. I'm talking about fellowshipping besides coming to church and Sunday school. The church does something together, we should be here. If it's cleaning the windows, cutting the grass, if it's eating pizza, our friends should be, you know, members of the Church of Christ, the ones we hang with. You know, so to help us, we can support each other in our beliefs and in our weaknesses and sins that we might overcome them. You know? In Ephesians 4, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherein we are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, at one time reading that, I thought it said that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. And that never made sense to me. But, you know, it's the vocation. Those are jobs. We walk worthy of the vocation we're in. Jobs, how we make our living, our service to God, you know, and with all, you know, with all of those things, we do with lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. And it goes on in Ephesians, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Skipping down a little further, it says in verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have to become saints. We have to put off our old self and allow the Holy Spirit to help us, direct us, and overcome these things. You know, the scriptures tell us to pray for charity. It says to pray for charity with all the energy of heart. That, to me, you know, gives me a note of how hard it is for us to overcome ourselves and our lusts and our natural man. And you know, he says there in, that natural man is an enemy to God, Mosiah, whereas page 218, you know, they pressed forward with a steadfastness in Christ. There are forces of evil that work against us in our life, that are trying to deceive us, that are trying to discourage us, that are trying to weaken our resolve to serve Jesus Christ and be a saint. But through his grace and his Spirit working with us, we can come over those things. Says there in one of the verses, I'm just going to read one, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Boy, that's a good one. You're having troubles in your family. You're having troubles at work. You know, don't let them get away from you. Don't let it wait till the next day. You know, handle them. Talk to each other in love. And ask to consider, try to listen to what the other is saying. You know, the Lord was a great listener. I sure hope he is, because we had a lot of prayers to him. You know, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We're only to say the things that edify people and lift them up and strengthen them spiritually. You know, we're not to murmur, we're not to mock, we're not to make fun of people, but, you know, we're to edify and strengthen them. And we all have opportunities to do that, our job or our school. You know, those that are being picked on or whatever, or people that are having problems in their lives, you know, we can bring edifying words to them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do. Goes on and says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Have you ever had a bitterness? Have you had wrath? You've been so mad you hadn't controlled yourself? Or anger? Or you like to make clamor or noise, I guess. Evil speaking. No, just put it aside. Try to catch each other from doing that. Don't find ourselves mocking and murmuring. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Again, be ye saints. Be Christ-like in our thoughts. James, in the third chapter, talks about the tongue and how evil it can be. You know, those things that we say, we can't take away. You know, and so we have to control our tongue and our thoughts. You know, read that in James 3. It's a wonderful thing. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You know, and we can control, man can control all things, but has trouble controlling their tongue. It says here in verse 8, it's full of deadly poison. We have a need to support the church in our tithes and our offerings and our talents and in our presence, our attendance, in everything that we do. When they meet, we should meet at all possible. And we have jobs in that. We have to support our family. You know, we're to give our tithes and offerings and our talents. Those, if we can cook and whatever we can do, you know, the sing, and, you know, we have all the specials and everything, and those are good works. Standing up and praising the Lord in front of the congregation. Beautiful song we had tonight. And thank you for those. We believe that, you know, tithing they're talking about is the 10% of our income. And those are hard to do in these times. But if you haven't started it, start it. Even if it's 1% or 2% or whatever, and work up in a year or so until, and it says, you know, Malachi, bring all your tithes in the storehouse, and there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. He challenges us. He knew it was going to be hard. They knew they had to give, you know, 10% of their product or their herds or their increase, you know. And in this plan, God has, from the beginning of time, you know, he had a plan. He knew Adam and Eve were going to fall. He knew that there had to be a perfect sacrifice. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He gave choice land to Joseph, which is this land. He blessed us with the scriptures, knowing that it's a choice land above all other lands. And we have an awesome responsibility. In the book of Ether, it says, starting in chapter 1 in the 31st verse, "And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God." Talking about us. "Or that shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all of them. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, shall be swept off." It is the everlasting decrees. When we're ripened in iniquity. I always remember a sermon our brother Jay preached about the banana. And you can eat it green, you can eat it when it's ripe, you can eat it after it's ripe, you can make bread. But finally, it gets so rotten, you throw it away. Fullness of iniquity. "For behold, this is the land is thrice above all their lands, wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decrees of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity upon them, the children of the land." So he's saying, "Cometh, and this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that you may know the decrees of God, that you may repent and not continue in our iniquities until the fullness of the wrath come." And he goes, and he says, it's a choice land, and it will be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven if we will serve the God of land, which is Jesus Christ. So we have our roots in our belief in the things that are written in the scriptures. And I'm looking for a note that I missed. At any rate. No. We have, we believe those scriptures, of course, and we believe what it talks about. About Zion and the temples to be built on this land. That's why we're here. That's why the building was here. That's why our forefathers came here. And Ether 6 says, "And now I, Moroni, proceed to finish my work covering the destruction of the people to which I have been writing. For behold, they rejected the words of Ether, for they truly told them of all things from the beginning of man, and how that after the waters receded off from the face of this land, it became a choice land above all other lands, chosen land of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him, which dwell upon the face thereof. And it was the place of the new Jerusalem, which should come down out of heaven, the holy sanctuary." Prophecy. 2,200 years before Christ. When was that? 2,200 before. Yeah. That plan, it all fits in. "And he saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a new Jerusalem upon this land, and he spake also concerning the house of Israel and of the Jerusalem from whence I should come after, that they should be destroyed, it should be built again, a holy city of the Lord." And we have an awesome responsibility. We have to pray for charity, love, between one another, all things common among us, that we might create a Zionic condition, that we might come together and serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility to bring the gospel to Israel, those ones that were out in the islands of the sea in the four quarters of the earth that was talking about today. We have a need to be saints. So I talked a lot about our needs and our beliefs and our roots. And I don't want to neglect the hope that we should have. There are a lot of things going on that we can't control. A lot of things are going to happen that we can't control, but we can be prepared. We can become a saint. We can read the word of truth. We can all fitly join together. Like I said before, God has prepared a place for each one of us, young and old. We have to seek him. We have to be baptized. We have to, for those that haven't been baptized, begin to study. Begin to ask your parents about what would be the need. And talk to the ministry and read some scriptures with your parents in the ministry. And, he never changes. His church is the same today as it was in the days of old. We are the church of Christ. There's no other church of Christ that he can go to. We're it. He's called us, each one of us, out of the world for some purpose of his, not ours, his. That we might be his people, that we might serve him, that we might spread the gospel, that we might bring it to Israel, and we have the need to study and fast and pray and ask God what we need to do. We need to focus, we need to hone in, we need to set our priorities. One of the brothers the other day, I don't know, it might have been Joel, on Sunday, talked about looking from where we came. And where we are. And how the Lord has blessed us, called us out of the world. I hate to tell you one time in my life. But the Lord had mercy upon me and he came in contact with the church through my wife, saved my life. Even today I have all these things wrong with me. And yet again, most of the time I feel pretty good. But he's given me the assurance. I think I've said this here. But 6 or 7 years ago, Lord spoke to me in a dream. And he told me I was going to have a lot of problems coming up. My life would change, but I need not fear because he'd be with me. And that was like in December, 4 or 5 months later, they told me I had cancer and my kidneys were failing. And of course, another 5 or 6 years, they failed. But he's been with me. I live in a country that I can have get medical help. And the blessings of God have a loving brothers and sisters and a loving wife that pray for me and hold me up. And that's for each one of us. But we need to know the will of God. We need to set our priorities. We need to be saints. We need to be his bride. We need to fast and pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for charity. I'd like to close with Moroni 10. Verse 28, 29. I'm going to tell you one more story. Moroni 10, and awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge the borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded by the covenants of the eternal. That the covenants of the eternal God, which he saith made unto thee, also Israel may be Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected. And deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. Yeah. Come unto Christ and be perfected. And deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if you be by the grace of God are perfected in Christ, and deny not his power, then you are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that you be holy. We've had often an awesome responsibility, and we need from the youngest to the oldest to prepare ourselves for the work that the Lord has for the body of Christ, for his church on earth. We believe that he has blessed us in the restoration, that we hold priesthood authority for him, have power and authority to perform the ordinances, have power and authority to lay on hands for reception of the Holy Ghost, for blessing of babies, for healing the sick, for preaching and teaching, and so that's an awesome responsibility. There's not any ministry out here that we can't do it by ourselves. We need your prayers. We need the prayers of our wives. And the young couples, pray for your husbands that they might have time to study. Pray for the young married to pray for who your choice should be, and that we might have all things common and come to a common purpose, that we're going to lead our lives to promote Jesus Christ to the world. Thank you.